Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. I'm your host, Rob. We've got a special guest, former Army football player and team captain, Sandon McCoy, on the show today. We're going to roll right into the first read and then get into the recap of the FAU game. And as much as we want to celebrate Army success in the last one, we got to turn the page quickly because we got to get ready for the Rice Owls next week. I know that the Black Knights are going owl hunting this season. Just happened to work out that their schedule has three back-to-back owl teams, but we'll get into that. So, if you listen to this show at all, you know that we have a sponsor by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a realtor in the Fort Liberty area. She's a veteran who spent her career in Army logistics, where she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has also an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. But if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Jocelyn has decided to support us here at Ask for Football, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Look, even if you're not moving specifically to Fort Liberty, Jocelyn's the person that you need to talk to, and we really hope that you capitalize on her desire to get you into your dream home. All right, moving on. Army defeated Florida Atlantic University this past weekend by a score of 24-7. Notes that we have is like, hey, look, the rushing offense looked great. Army rushed for 409 yards. Noah Short led all rushers with 150 yards and 10 carries. Surprisingly, he was a wideout last year, right? So he started off in a different position. And, you know, one of the best things about Army is, like, if you can block, you can play wide receiver. But if you can block and you have some hands, you could probably play running back or split back or some type of option back there. Bryson Daly lived up to the Bison moniker again. He rushed for 120 yards on 18 carries. He was 1-for-4 for 44 yards with a touchdown pass to Casey Reynolds, and that's kind of the way that we like it at Army. You know, just that one throw for six. Kanye Udo rushed for 71 yards. He looked good. I will tell you, he sat for a little bit because of fumble. And, you know, it's Army. It's a running team. Coach Munkin takes ball security very, very seriously. So he sat him down for a quarter. And it wasn't, you know, is it punishment? No. But you practice ball security, particularly for an option team, all the time. And so that's definitely something that came back. But he got back into the game and still performed well. Defensively, Chance Keith led the team in tackles. We had five tackles and two solos. Anda Thomas had five tackles. I did not realize that he is actually the son of one of my classmates. So that is mind blown. I found that out because we had our class call over the weekend. The defense played well, holding the Owls to a total of 235 yards on offense. The Owls were 3-of-10 on third down. They were 1-of-3 on fourth down. The Army defense got two fourth down stops and one during the second half that led to another Army long drive, which basically was the nail in the coffin. Special teams, kicker Trey Garnett was 1-of-1 and hit a 36-yard field goal. And, you know, on the second field goal that was set up, holder Matthew Rhodes went to the distance for a fake field goal of 23 yards and a touchdown. I mean, bottom line is Coach Saturnio strikes again. You know, like that's how it works. Like Army practices, you know, gadget plays and things like that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to execution, special teams has always been a strong suit for Army. And they have won more than one game with a blocked punt or kick. Anyway, thoughts on the game. Sandon, Army football player, former captain. What did you think about that one?
Yeah, and I guess just starting special teams, I mean, all great things happen Saturday. And, you know, it's always good to see Army win. But starting with the field goal, the fake field goal and the touchdown, I mean, I don't think Coach Saturnio would have brought it up any better. He had two edge blockers in there, and I think I forget his name, but number eight, he plays a B-back. He blocked some guy off the edge, allowed for Matthew Rhodes to just get in there. And that was just awesome because what Army does is we practice special teams as hard as we practice offense and defense. And so it's taken very seriously. We want to win on all downs, and that includes special teams. So good job there. Defense is always I'm an offensive guy, so I don't look too much on defense. But as long as our defense are holding up any offense that really throws at us, then we're good there. I will say just a lot of tackles before the line of scrimmage. That's always good. Some sacks in there as well, and then just going to the offense, right? You mentioned Noah Short led the team in rushing yards, 150 on 10 carries. It's amazing, especially at a Army football game. But just with Noah Short, you mentioned that he was receiver. I think he played DB a little bit when he first came in as a freshman or as a plebe. I know for a fact. So Noah Short is one of the guys I coached at the prep school. And so when I went up to AI, as soon as I graduated, I had to go coach. And he was a phenomenal athlete. He played both ways. He was almost like a Travis Hunter at the prep school.
Wow.
But it's nice that he's able to now go to offense and really kind of find a home there. And, of course, I got to talk about Bryson Daly, Kanye Udo. Man, Bryson Daly is just going to keep coming. The biggest thing is that we just got to keep him healthy, you know?
Yeah.
We got to keep him healthy. I think that's the only thing that Army does kind of always fall into like a little shortcoming is just the healthiness of our teammates and whatnot. And also Kanye Udo, he's just a dog. I mean, I love how hard he's running the ball, yards after contact, really not taking no for answer. I know you mentioned he did fumble and Coach Munkin did sit him out. And I don't think it was a punishment, but I think it's important, right? It's important because, I mean, you don't, yeah, even Kanye Udo can sit out, a quarter. All right, Army's still going to play football, win the game, and then, okay, he collected his mind and came back in. But overall, 24/7 FAU, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that you touched on, it's ball control, right? And that's the offense. So it doesn't matter which player it is. Like, coach is going to sit him. Like, if we've watched Coach Munkin long enough, we know that, like, if he has a player that has a ball control issue, like, coach is going to sit him. And that's not just to send a message to that player, but it's to send the message to the whole team, like, hey, we take this seriously because there is a, long period of the 2000s when ball security always turned out to be the difference in a lot of games, particularly in a one-possession game. If you lose the ball, it's going to impact you way, way greater than you think it's going to. And the other part of it is it ends up like, yeah, we've had some special team miracles that win the game, but like it shouldn't be left to, like, look, as great as Quinn Moretzky was last year, here's the bottom line. If you are a football player of any salt, you don't want to leave the game to your kicker, right? We love those guys because they're great, but like nobody wants to leave a game to a kicker. And that's just an honest thing. Like, if you don't know anyone that's ever played offense a day in their life, they're like, yeah, we want to score touchdowns because field goals aren't enough. And so I think the lessons learned in ball security is there. It is what it is. And I appreciate a coach that does that. And I mean, even going into the halftime interview, they talk to coach and halftime interview, and he's like, well, there's still some things that we need to work on. Like, why? Because that's Coach Munkin. That's just the way that he is. He is always going to have a level of analysis on his team that we are not going to get sitting at home watching it on television.
No.
Like, he knows the ins and outs of that program, and he knows the players very, very well. So he's always going to provide that little bit of extra, when they have the halftime interviews or whatnot. We're going to do the facts or fiction review, which is awesome because, like, and it sucks because none of the rest of the team is here for me to gloat. So I said Army passes for 55 yards this week. That was a fact. Both myself and Dan said fact. Jordan said fiction. So Jordan's out on an island by himself. And then we had Army's defense gets a total of at least 3 sacks or a forced fumble or turnover. And we both said fact. That was actually fiction. And but the way that the defense played, we're good. And then, of course, Jordan took the fact or fiction that came in from the Firsty Club, which was, Cam Fancher will rush for over 50 yards. That was fiction. He only had 10. And I think that honestly was the difference in the game. When you look at that guy's performance, previously Army has struggled against quarterbacks that are mobile. you know, particularly when they lose outside contain. We saw that with Castellanos last year in the Boston College game. I also think it had a lot to do with the weather conditions, you know, so like you have a lot to overcome weather conditions, and then you got a, you know, a quarterback that can move. Both of those things can be a royal pain in the butt for the Army football team. But, I mean, I was very impressed with the win. You know, hoping is the biggest thing. My concern is, you know, not coming in flat after a bye week. And that's just a trend in college football. I know we had a discussion earlier. I was texting back and forth with some other guys in the Firsty Club, and we were talking about how – now, this isn't the round table, but we were talking about how, you know, Notre Dame came in flat against NIU because they had this big emotional build up to the Texas A&M game, big emotional letdown because they lost, and then like you literally walked into a trap game with yep. NIU, and Army could kind of fall into something similar with that because, you know, Rice isn't a very, you know, they're not a great team. They are not playing well right now. Same thing with Temple. And both of those teams are like back-to-back trap games because, like, if you start looking past those opponents to your next bigger opponent, it's going to bite you. And so that's yeah. one of the concerns that I have going into the season. But we're going to get through this last commercial, and then we're going to focus the rest of the show in on getting to know you a little bit better as a player and then what you did afterwards, you know, because I think, you know, telling the story of what you did after you graduated is just as important as your time at the academy. So, again, we have a sponsor here at Ask for Football. It's Greg Oxane. He's the VP of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. He's a class of 1994 graduate. He can lend in all 50 states. He's based out of Chicago, and he's one of the most significant VA lenders in the country. He offers super competitive rates. Craig will give you the absolute best deal that he possibly can. Friends, the whole mortgage process is super confusing, and with interest rates moving all over the place, now is not the time to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off of you. Deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we are helping you get a better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans, which is a savings of about $1,300. Get that money, friends. Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending. Check him out. There's a link on our website. You fill out a little questionnaire, and he'll be talking to you in about 10 minutes. Anyway, so it's a bye week. Army does not have an opponent, and usually when we have bye weeks, we try and bring somebody on out of the college football pantheon that is related to the Army football team. This week, we have former Army football player and team captain, Sandy McCoy. So we'll start with the basics. Your group, what companies, what did you participate in school in addition to football, or was football only it? And then we have some specific questions from the Firsty Club that we want to dive into as well. So the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah. So starting with some basics. So year group class 2021, COVID class year, I like to say that. Companies, I was actually in F3 all 4 years. So I never got scrambled. I know a lot of people tell me a lot of horror stories about scrambling and whatnot. I actually never scrambled. I kept the same exact room for all 4 years at my time at West Point. I guess the downside of all of that, though, is I lived in Lee Barracks. And I'm not sure if you remember, Rob, but Lee Barracks is kind of, I mean, the Lee Barracks was the same that when you were there, all right, I know it still looks the same when I was there, and also like 50 years ago, okay, it hasn't got any better. And then as far as participating in any other activities at school, I mean, class. I mean, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but, you know, just as Army football player, we are limited with our time because it's taken up with, you know, just, you know, football, weightlifting, meetings, games, traveling, or whatever it may be. And so that was kind of my main focus for really, I mean, my time there until I left.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And again, I know that was one of the things that you don't really appreciate how much time is taken away from the sports teams, particularly the revenue generating ones, if we want to call it that. You know, when you look at like football, basketball, hockey, those sports consume so much of the athlete's time yeah. that it's a wonder that people pass, you know. I mean, honestly, because you spend a lot of time between the practice field, the weight room, you know, and going to classes, and then you still have to try and squeeze in homework and everything else that everybody else is doing. After practicing, your body is exhausted and your brain is probably smoked because you've been watching films all day. And then I have to go in and do DDS, man. Like, I don't wish that, I don't wish that evil on anyone, because, you know, I understand like the academic rigor, and, you know, people have talked about, and I've had experiences with, you know, more recent cadets and people that have recently graduated. And one of the things, the academics have changed, but it's still, it's not easier. You know what I mean? It's like, it's different. I won't say it's easier, it's just different. And so that's one of the things that, is really crazy. All 4 years in F3, how was that? Because I know that like scrambling for us was interesting, because like our company and Go Friars F1, it's the firehouse now. I don't know why I keep changing it, but, we made an effort as firsties in our company to take care of the cows that were rotating in. So we had a great relationship with all of our upperclassmen when we showed up in the summer. Like, we had cow firsty bash and everybody got to know each other and really, you know, oh, this guy's cool. You know, you knew who you could hang with, the people that were, you know, in your major, or the folks that would, you know, help you out with other things, you know, as just far as your development as a cadet, particularly going into your first year and then commissioning. And so we had a really good intro when we scrambled. And so we tried to carry that tradition the next year. And so we were, you know, just as welcoming and open to the cows when they came in. So I think, you know, at West Point, it's like, it's two different kind of methods. You know what I mean? Like the scrambling is good. I think it helps, because even still after scrambling, there were cadets. Like, when I went back for my reunion, I had no idea who they were. Like, we had all went to school together, but I'm like, who is this guy? I have no idea who this cat is, you know? So that's always very, very interesting, but that's super unique kind of thing. And so were you in the pathway of coming into West Point when Army beat Navy? And that's like one of my biggest memories of the 2016 season was I was deployed, and I tell the story, and I'm sure like the first eclipse rolling their eyes right now, but I actually got to watch Army beat Navy on the big screen in the Jock in Kuwait. So we, you know, had to convince our G3 to let us put it on the big screen. I was like, hey, sir, like, we've got a joint task force. You got Navy guys here. You got Army guys here. It's like, it's kind of not cool to let us watch the game. We can watch baseball, but we can't watch the Army-Navy game. And so the boss was like, all right, turn it on. But if something pops off, you got to shut everything down and fight the war. Like, that, no joke, sir. Yeah. Rock yeah. You know, like, we're not going to not do that. But, you know, it was one of the most awesome things. You know, very memorable moment for me, because like, we're watching on a 100-inch screen, watching Army, you know, pull out probably the best, I won't say it was the best Army Navy win, other than the fact that it had been so long since Army had beat Navy that it was just exciting. And then, you know, what was it, two more wins back to back after that, and I think you were a part of those. So how was it to beat Navy? Because I know that we have a lot of Army football players for a good chunk of time that just don't have that experience. And so what did that feel like, you know, when the clock hit zeros and Army at one?
Yeah. I mean, great, of course. And I feel bad for anybody who didn't beat Army in the past, but I can truthfully say I beat them 3 out of 4 years. And we should have beat them that year we didn't beat them, but that's all cool. But I don't know. I mean, it's just so much builds up to that game. But just being a player, I mean, we always go into the game, we never know we're going to win. All right. The first 2 years on the team, so I was a freshman, we beat them. Didn't play too much, but I didn't travel. I did a lot of traveling my freshman year. I was behind the Andy Davidson, Darnell Wolfel, Kalen Hull, Connor Slop. So I didn't play too much in my freshman year. I had some dogs in front of me. But I guess my sophomore year when I was there, I got to play a little bit. Actually got hurt at like the fourth or fifth game. So I kind of had a significant role in that game. But I mean, junior year we did lose, unfortunately. But the senior year, I think that was the most unique game that I can never forget, because it was at Mikey. You know,
yeah,
it was at Mikey. in our own backyard. We didn't lose a home game that entire season. It was just the core cadets there. I think Donald Trump came as well, the president at the time. And so, I mean, the atmosphere was, I mean, it was just amazing for us. And so you come into Mighty Stadium, I don't care who you are. Yeah, I mean, especially if you're Navy, like, you're not coming out of there with a dub. Absolutely not. But just having the ability, I guess you can just call it bragging rights that to say that I beat him 3 out of 4 years, and people hadn't beat him in like a 20-year or 15-year span, 5-year span, whatever it may be. Yeah. Definitely feels good just knowing that I was a part of that team. So yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping for you guys to win, because like my class was the last class. So 97 was the last class to win all four against Navy. And so it's like I had classmates who had kids that were teenagers that had never seen Army beat Navy in the Army Navy game. And so it was like, I think kids like, why are you so upset, Dad? Like, Army never beats Navy. And so when the dam broke, it became a rivalry again. And I think that's one of the things that if you're a fan of college football and not a fan of a particular team, you want to see the rivalries go back and forth, you know, or it's like, hey, a team will win for 3 years, a team will lose for 3 years, but you want those rivalries to be competitive because, you know, those are going to be the only things on television, particularly, you know, Army Navy. You want those games to be played in isolation and have some quality football going on. I think, the whole, you know, Army Navy and an Army Air Force at Mikey Stadium during the COVID year was just like, that was amazing. I mean, I don't think it's going to get much better than that, you know, as far as just being like a football purist and, you know, Mikey Stadium to this day, if you're a college football fan and you're just dipping into this podcast, like if you don't go see a game at Mikey Stadium, that's like bucket list item before you go. We interviewed the guy from the college football tour. And he went to Mikey Stadium twice because he went to the BC game and it was raining, so he didn't get to see all the pageantry. So he went back on a better weekend so he could see all the marching and the skydiving and all the other things that are associated with watching a game at Mikey Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an incredible opportunity. And I mean, that's super cool to realize that you got that. So, you know, you alluded to it earlier, and these are some questions that we had actually from the Firsty Club, who are the guys that are on our Patreon. And, so you talked about being a plebe, and it was like, how intimidating was it for you when you were so low on the depth chart your freshman year? Because that's a murderer's row of like great B-backs in the history of Army football that were in that locker room at the same time that you were a plebe. So how did that feel, and how did you stay motivated in that reality? And that's from Corey. He's one of the Firsty Club members. But what were your thoughts about that? You know, trying to make the best of I wouldn't say a bad situation, because you said you traveled, but like, yeah, you're probably a utility player at the very least, if not seeing the field at the very most. So what are your thoughts on like your freshman, your plebe experience in the locker room?
Yeah. So first and foremost, like, shout out to like one, the B-back room at the time, and also just all the upperclassmen, right? Usually when you travel as a plebe, it's a little bit different. One, you don't know the first year class like that or the Cal class, you know. And both of those years, I mean, those guys were great, offense and defense, right? And so, which is good. I mean, I think I learned a lot. I know for a fact I learned a lot. And I don't think I would have been the player I was my first year, being a captain and all the leadership that came with that, without like Darnell Wolfel or Andy Davidson, Connor Slomka, and those great guys, Kalen Holt too. And kind of how I'd say how I worked my way into the rotation though was, all right, we have 10 different runners, all right, but when these 10 different runners need a break, they need somebody to block. All right, I'll go set the edge. I'll go run somebody over and block, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of how the physicality I got from just from the D-back room from them, and that's how I kind of walked my way onto the field, right? Of course, you chat special teams, stuff like that, and so, but just knowing that, I mean, in the beginning, practice as well, like I was getting reps just as much as they were getting reps in practice. Of course, like, we don't want to kill ourselves in practice, but obviously, like, if something did happen, I had to be ready. So I think it began in practice. I think it began in games, just going in there blocking, and it just transformed like my sophomore, junior senior year there, okay, now I got the starting position. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable because I already learned from the greatest, from the people who were in front of me at a younger age. So that's how I felt.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we see in, you know, and we talked about it yesterday on the round table, but that's one of the things that we see is like the purism of the service academies and their football. Like if you go there as a player, and this will go right into our next question, but as a player, you get to develop over time, you know, and you're not looking to exit or go to the next opportunity, which some of the other schools have that problem. And so, you know, that next man up mentality is exactly that at West Point. And then for all you younger players that are listening, physicality matters, right? So be good in the weight room, be good in practice. And like, if coach tells you to go out there and block, go pancake somebody, because he will see that on film, you know? And so those are all important aspects of the game to build yourself up, to give yourself the next opportunity and, you know, move on in the next part of playing ball. So you talked about how, you know, the mentorship came from in the B-back room, but how did coach evolve you as a player as well? So, you know, you had your position coach, the head coach, like what was their influence on you and your development as well as a player going through your academy experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it began just getting recruited. I was a guy who really didn't know what West Point was at the time, didn't even know Army had a football team. And Jay Bateman, I'm not sure where he's de-coordinated at right now, but I mean, great recruiting coach. He eventually left, but also just Coach Munkin. Coach Munkin takes, he treats everyone on that team, 180 players, like they're his son. Like, and it's incredible how he does it. It's incredible how he does it. I'm not sure how he does it each year, but he does, right? So it began there. And then, of course, I'm going to argue with anybody who says this. Mike Beattie is probably the best coach at Army football from years ago until years to come, until he leaves. So it also began with him, because not only did we have a coach who was just coaching, you know, he's coaching from his past experience too, you know, and so now he's able to coach from, you know, when he played as a football player, but also now he's coaching from like the grit standpoint, from actually graduating from West Point, serving the military, doing, fighting so much adversity, coming back, and now, okay, now let me dive into these guys. Okay, now we're not only playing with like, yeah, grit, tenacity, but we're playing with the chip on our shoulder, because like it means so much more. It does. I mean, it goes a lot deeper than just football in that B-back room. It will always continue to go much deeper in that B-back room. And I think even just on the team itself, as long as you have somebody who played in Army football or graduated, went to war, deployed or whatever it may be, and came back, is now putting value back into the team, it's always going to be different. And I think that separates us from the people who, you know, have the NIL deals. You know, you're not going to get something like that at a regular college. You're not. Here it's just so different, and it's built into you.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about that, because I know like there's been periods of time where, you know, the football team is probably the least respected organization at the academy. And I say that not because of any other reason than, you know, everybody that's not on the team's like, well, why do they get all these breaks? Right? Like, why do they, you know, well, this guy gets to carry more weight. Like, yeah. But like, if you've watched the transformation of a guy afterwards, I have, he's a fan of the show and he's my classmate, Tim Booth. And, you know, Timmy was an offensive lineman, and to watch the transformation of his body after the last game until graduation, you know, all the weight that he lost, you know, that was part of their journey as well. And like you still have to meet all those physical standards before you graduate. And I think that's one of the things that we don't communicate as well to the core writ large, you know, because all they know is like, oh, these guys are football players, they got all this other stuff, blah, 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 you know. And it's easy to be downtrodden, particularly if you're like one of the semi-athletic regular people at West Point. And I say semi-athletic because everybody has to play a team sport at some point, but not everybody has the skill set or the abilities to play at the collegiate level in their respective sports. And so there's a lot of transformation. And I could say, like, even in my experience as a green suiter in the Army, is watching the difference between the Army football players that graduated before me, the guys that I went to school with, and then the guys that I've encountered in the Army after graduation, and particularly after Coach Munkin got there, there's been a significant change in the overall attitude of the program and the guys that are coming into the Army after that experience. And so, you know, I truly believe that Coach Munkin has, like, he is the exact right guy for the job.
Yeah.
And he's smart enough to know as a coach that I got to pick the right supporting cast to surround himself with. And like Coach Vitti, like, I don't know if you ever saw the video from the guy that's son, Mr. Josh Prey, his son is going to West Point next year. And it's like a 2-minute rant of like every recruiting pitch that you would use for West Point. I said in like 2 minutes, and the two people that he complimented the most, you know, was Coach Munkin and the coaching staff. He's like, everybody in the staff is super friendly, super professional, but like they all look like they could throw down like at a moment's notice. And it's, that's fair, you know? And so I think that's part of, you know, that's just part of the culture of Army now, you know, and it may not have been that way with other coaches. And it's certainly different than, you know, the experience that we had with, you know, with Coach Sutton and then Coach Ross. And like, there were some other guys in there that we don't talk about because they're persona non grata with Army football fans. But you talked about, you know, the experience and the attraction of Army as far as coming to schools or like the NIL stuff. And NIL wasn't really a thing when you were coming into the academy. But, you know, what other schools recruited you? Did you have any other options on the table? Was Army it? Or, you know, were you thinking about other stuff? Because one of the things that I've seen and one of the points that I want to make is like, depending upon where the school sits in like the pantheon of college football, if you go to something traditional as a group of five schools, and you know, the TNT podcast called this out on a couple of the players that went to UConn, but like you actually have sports writers and evaluators that will knock you down a half a star or star position, you know, as a recruit, because you're going to a group of five school rather than, you know, rolling the dice to be number 17 on the bench in Alabama, you know. But when it came to your choice to decide like, hey, am I going to Army or am I going someplace else? Did you have any other offers or was there anything else on the table that kind of influenced you or what was that process like?
Yeah. So all three academies actually offered me, along with a couple other schools in North Carolina, small schools like Gardner Webb, Elon. I was actually talking to JMU for a little bit as well. Temple as well. And then I think that's about it. But it was, my main focus was definitely all the academies because it was just different. It was certainly different to me because, one, I didn't know anything. Like, I'm just a high schooler, and I love football. And so I didn't know anything about the academy, the rivalry, or whatever it may be. And so when, you know, Army came and then and then all the, I mean, Coach Calhoun came and a lot of them, Coach Ken came as well, speaking with me time to time. And but Army just kept coming. Coach Munkin, Coach Bateman kept coming, Coach Vitti. And the biggest thing, I guess, for me and my decision was really just, you know, the other side, you know, the other side of college football, the other side of college just in general. I mean, at a young age, it's a big decision. It's certainly a big decision. And so what I saw was, you know, the toughest school that a lot of people don't go to. A lot of people can't get in. A lot of people don't graduate from.
Yeah.
I said, if that's tough, I'm tough. Let's see who's tougher. All right. And graduated in 2021, so you can see who won that battle. I'll tell you that. But that was kind of my mindset going in.
Yeah, and that's one of the things is it's like the challenge of the academy, and Dan talks about it all the time. And so one of the things he always talks about is like, hey, you're this high school athlete, you're recruited for a particular sport, and you show up, and then you go from, you know, high school hero to West Point Zero, and that's a culture shock.
Yeah,
and the reality of it is like you're not alone in that, but it certainly feels that way because it's just you and your roommate, you know, trying to avoid, you know, the random upperclassman that's going to get into your business as you're walking to the chow hall. And so I think that's a very important aspect of it. And you know, it's important because Army is, you know, if anybody asks me, I just say, hey, it's a great place to start, right? You don't have to do 20 years, but it's a great academic institution. You can learn a lot. You're going to have a career when you get out. You're not going to have any student debt. So it's a great place to start. So like, as you know, if you do you know, 5-10 years in the Army and you decide to take a different course, like much younger version of me would have been like, oh, you suck. You need to do 20 years and stay forever. But it's not for everyone. You know, not everybody is cut out for, you know, to be a lifer like I was, but that doesn't mean that's your situation. You know what I mean? And it takes maturity and wisdom to kind of grow out of that. And it's always nice to see, you know, the next generation of leaders that are coming out of the academies, because it's different. Like I said, it's not more or less difficult. It's just different. And I think that's the easiest way. And one of the things that my classmates said, we had our class call this weekend, and it's like, you know, everybody says the Corps has, you know, that's the first words out of it. And now the back part of it is the Corps has gotten better. You know, it's expanded. There's a lot of new opportunities. There's more school. There's a lot more things that we're talking about, a lot more opportunities that the cadets get than we ever had, you know. And as an old grad, you just got to be thankful for that, because I got to make this school more attractive. Because if I'm a smart kid with the right SAT score, I could just as easily go to MIT, you know, or West Point or Navy or some other, you know, academic institution that's going to have the rigor, but not going to have the structure. And so right. I think that's important. So last question is, you know, what are you doing now? So what was your career like, you know, after Army football graduation, and what are you doing today?
Yeah. And so after Army football, immediately I became an AI. So I was a coach at the prep school for about 9 to 12 months. Enjoyed that. It was just a blast. I went to the prep school myself. And so just to be able to give back, you know, kind of have that opportunity to lead, as like I looked up to other people as second lieutenants who were leading me. And it was phenomenal. After that, I went to Bullock. I'm an armor officer. So I went to armor, Bullock at Fort Benning, now Fort Moore. And then I went to Fort Lewis. So currently I'm still at Fort Lewis right now. I actually switched branches to Signal. So I'll be going a different route. I know you mentioned you stayed in 20. I'm not sure if that's going to be the same glide path I take. But as of now, currently at XO with 114 Cav as a unit that's divesting. And yeah, all the Cavs going away. And it's funny because I've been in the Cav my entire career. As soon as I came into West Point, I was with F3, which is the troop. I went to A Bullock. I was with, I forget what troop I was with, but I was in another troop, the Cav unit. And also I came to 114 Cav, and we're also troops. and so it started there, of course. But yeah, and then just as I do transition out the military, when that time does come, the next 2.5 years, just taking a business role, definitely business. Not sure just yet what route I'm going to take. Finance is definitely going to be attractive for me personally. I love sales as well. But just really utilizing all the resources, something like Chairman of Broach Program, just a junior military officer transition program, stuff using every resource we have, and also just even the West Point network, right? That hadn't let me down yet, and I know it won't. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and that's good. Like, so 114, long history with that organization. They actually deployed with them in 2003 as a so when they were part of the first Striker Brigade, when they rolled out of the gate and did their first operational deployment, I was a company commander in BECO 123. So you are right up the street from a whole bunch of guys that I know. And so if you ever need anything, go talk to the Tomahawks, because they're good folks over there. There's quite a few Army alumni that went through that whole brigade. So 3-2, current division commander at the 82nd, Pat Work. I commanded the same company in 1-2-3 a couple years, couple commanders removed. So like the Army is super small, the West Point community is super small, and then kind of all those touch points around the same thing. And you know, General Work was at the game this weekend because the 82nd patch for the uniform this week. So again, super cool. Congratulations on your graduation and your experience. I mean, like, being a signal officer is always important. You know, they talk bad about us, but they can't talk without us. We all know that drill. And really appreciate you coming on the show today. This has been great. Hey, we got a couple more things. It is Patreon. So if you like Ask for Football and you want to support our coverage of Army Sports, the American Football Conference, we certainly could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/askforfootball to learn more. We have links on our website. At the yearling level, you get weekly games and locks. At the Cal level, you get that plus our scouting report. At the Firsty Club level, you get exclusive access to our private Facebook book group, and it's the best place to talk about Army sports. We're all super fans, and we keep it positive and we keep it private. So that's the best part about it. You also get access to recordings to the show like this, so you can interact early. This podcast will drop as early as possible for them, and then it'll come out to the rest of the world. We spent a lot of money over the past couple of years doing this. We're now in StreamYard. We're using Podcastle AI to improve sound quality, and we have regular recording times so people can join us live. All that takes time and money, and that's why we need your support. So last thing before we go, we usually have a favorite thing. My favorite thing is being able to do this interview. I really appreciate you coming on today and give us a little bit of your time. Very important. We understand that you're busy, and for you to take time out of your day to talk to us and the Army football fan base is great. If you are a parent listening, like, fingers and toes, your kids are going to be okay. If you're a recruit listening, you know, the experience is not, it's not all doom and gloom. It seems like that when you come in as a plebe, because you just don't know any better. But hindsight in the rearview mirror, West Point is a very good place to start. And I'll give you the last word before we close this thing out.
Yep. It gets better. All right. That's all I really got to say. It definitely gets better. You go through some growing pains, use some people to lean on, have some great class. You have great classmates. All right. It's just not you. It's everybody. Okay. We all go through it. All right. That's all I got.
Awesome. Thanks. We really appreciate you coming on. So this has been the Ask for Football Army Football Show. And as always, beat the bye week, and then we will beat the Rice Owls, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Navy.